You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Karen Chatton from Gardnerville, Nevada. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 9th, 2025. This is episode 3771. Good morning, Horse World.
When your start time's on Saturday and your finish time's on Sunday, and it doesn't get much better than best conditioned, and completing the challenge is the challenge, you're an endurance rider.
That's right. It is Endurance Tuesday, the second Tuesday of every month. We talk long distance riding with one of the OGs of long distance riding now. I think we can call you that.
I know. Time flies. I think back of how many decades I've been doing this. It's kind of crazy.
I think tomorrow it will turn the page on a new decade. So I'm going to play you this.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Karen.
Oh, thank you, Glenn.
And you are turning a new decade, aren't you?
I am.
I'm calling you out on the show. 60.
Yeah, already. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, I don't either, by the way. I have no idea how that happened. you know what? It feels a lot like 59, I'm going to tell you. You'll be fine.
Right. Well, at least I'm still writing. I haven't... You know, there were times over the last, you know, few years when I lost Chief and Bo where, you know, it was hard getting going again. But I just want to say to people listening, don't give up. If it's something you've loved doing, you will love it again. But sometimes you're going to have to work through some difficult periods. Getting new horses started is hard, but it's also a lot of fun and rewarding. It's harder now that I'm older.
It's funny how that works.
It is funny. Like, you know, because you don't remember all the things it takes to train a horse, especially an endurance horse, because they have to learn to deal with just about everything that you can possibly dream up. So there's, you know, it's exciting at the same time. It's also been a little bit more of a challenge. I don't remember the first set or two of horses that I started taking so long, but I don't think it's the horses. I think it's the rider.
My wife, same way with her new gated horse. She's never trained a gated horse before, and this one was like 3.5 years old. And she's like, I don't know if there's a little bit of regret that she didn't go older, you know, and more experienced, because he's a spooky one. So she's having to get through that in addition to her learning gated for the first time, which is a whole new challenge, right?
Yeah.
So, well, happy birthday.
And thank you.
You know, I hope that we can be saying happy birthday to you when you're 80 and then looking forward to your next 100, okay?
Okay.
You'll be up there passing potato, and you'll be 80 years old out there riding in the hundreds and setting all kinds of records. Do you know what the record is for the most miles by an individual over the time that they kept records?
Oh, yeah, that would be Dave Rabe, and he's over 75,000 miles.
That's a lot of them.
I know. And then I think the highest mileage woman would be Trilby Peterson, and I know she was well over 50,000.
And what are you at, 20, 25? 39. Oh, you're going to catch her.
Something. 39 something. Well, it just, you know, I'm not riding as many miles. There's not as many rides. And things are pretty far spread out. And so I've been mostly doing more of the local type rides. So I'm not traveling 600 miles a day anymore, mm-hmm. like when I was younger. I just don't like driving for you know, really long periods.
Any direction you drive is over the mountains and through the woods too. So
it is. Yeah. Yes.
They're not easy pretty drives.
I know.
It's not like here in Florida where it's all flat and, you know, you can drive from one end of the state to the other and not hit a hill. You know,
wow.
You're in a little different situation in Nevada where you are.
Exactly. Exactly.
You have to worry about which pass you're going over. We don't have that problem here.
Right.
So, yeah.
And how many? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Whether your truck's going to overheat. You know, we don't have that issue. So today on the show, we have a special guest, don't we? Tell us about our guest today.
Yes, we do. We have the winner of the 2025 Arabian Horse Association Endurance Championship 100 miles. And that is Nicole Wirt. She's going to tell us about her amazing ride at the championship. And then we're going to be learning a little bit about the new Garmin Blaze equine heart rate monitor.
Can we pause for a second and just say Garmin, that huge company, built something specifically for a horse. That's just amazing.
Okay.
You know, it is that they would do the R&D and spend the money on it for a horse.
It is.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think they're going to, I think they'll be a game changer, because just being able to have it still on your horse when you pull your tack.
Right. Well, and we'll talk to Kristen about it today. I want to learn more about it because I just saw the press releases, so it'll be interesting. And I know some endurance riders have been testing it, so maybe she knows a little about that. But we'll find. And it's not cheap. It's not a cheap toy, but you know, nothing horses is cheap anyways. But we'll find out about that. And then you're going to do, coming up in just a second, you're going to do your training tip's going to be on what to pack and what not to pack for the vet check, right?
Correct. Yes. Okay. Yep.
All right. Sounds good. Now I needed some lightness. And today I had a friend pass away last night that I found out this morning. And then can I just read this?
Yes.
Karen had this in the show notes. She did the Hat Creek Hustle. And she writes, Jovi and I did 105 miles in 2 days, 55 and a 50, which, by the way, is impressive, right? I overslept on day one, started late, got lost, did extra miles. It was hot, like really hot in the shade. We both finished both days. Okay. Have you ever overslept before?
No.
You've been to 1,000 rides.
I know. We started at 5:30, and so it was still dark at the actual start, but you know, I needed to be up by like 4:30. My alarm didn't go off, so what woke me up was my horse going off. He knew they were starting without him, and he did not like that.
Oh, he had a meltdown.
He was having a meltdown. He was bellowing and screaming and running circles. And now I'm out there
in your pajamas,
clothes, trying to get my tack on, you know, and got on him. Now I'm heading down the trail. I'm kind of following dust. There's so much dust, I can't see the glow bars. I didn't realize I should have had a like a headlamp with me, but I didn't. But I did on day two. So I learned something.
How many alarms did you have set on day two?
On day two, my trailer sounded like a train station in the morning. I had three alarms going off. Everything, my phone, my smartwatch. I had my weather station as an alarm on it. I had alarms going off all over the place. I was not going to do that again. So then the second day worked out better.
You got some coffee before you hit it?
Yeah, the first day what happened is I was just following the dust from the other riders because I couldn't see the ribbons. I couldn't see anything. And then next thing I know, they were coming back towards me, and we had gone quite a ways out of our way, like by half an hour or more.
Oh,
so,
no.
I know it. so it all's well that ends well.
Sorry. It's just you made my day with this whole thing. I'm sorry. At your expense, I'm sorry. I wish I'd had a video of this whole thing, though. It would have went viral. Well,
oh, my gosh. The good thing was is that, you know, we finally got our act together by the second day. I was ready and plenty of time. I actually remembered, like, the first day I didn't put my watch on. I forgot my cell phone.
So it really did screw you up the whole day.
Yeah, kind of, you know, plus Joby really, I mean, it was a 55 miler the first day and he didn't really need to be doing some extra miles, but he still did it.
You didn't either.
I didn't either. But the good thing is my feet did really well.
Yeah, you've been having problems with your feet. And you've been working on that through physical therapy, right? Your own physical therapy, yes. Basically. Yeah.
Yes, I've been going to I went to physical therapy, so I had a lot of stuff done there. I've been just working on myself. I'm learning to do stretches a lot more frequently and the exercises needed. And my feet got a little tired. One started to get a little bit sore. But for the most part, I made it through both days and I was still able to walk normal.
Yay!
So that was a big change. The right foot that was bothering me the most didn't bother me. And I think it's felt the best it's felt in probably 10 years.
And nerve pain is just awful. I mean, it's an awful thing to deal with.
It is. Yeah. It's no fun. And I didn't realize that it's something that can be healed. It takes time. My physical therapist said, yeah, it's going to take, you know, 6, 7, 8, or 9 months if I keep at it, you know, and I have been. And so I think my first appointment was in June. But before that, I was starting to do my own PT because it was taking so long to get the appointments. Every time you make an appointment, it takes two months to get one. So I've been religiously working on everything that I can. And it's paid off. It's making a difference. So this next coming up weekend, I'm going to go to another ride that's also 2 days. And I'm going to see if I can ride 100 miles again on a weekend.
Will you ever forget to set 3 alarms again?
No, I will never do that again.
How'd Joby feel about his 100 miles over 2 days?
He did. He felt great. He finished the second day. He had the second highest vet score.
Oh, wow.
And we top 10. He had like a 48-44 CRI, and he had pretty much all A's, and he looked just fantastic. And
oh, wow.
Then the
You've been a good job legging him up then, obviously.
Yes, he's gotten very fit, very strong. I was holding him back a lot. You know, especially because we did do those extra miles the first day in the heat. I just wanted to make sure he got really well hydrated. So I would spend a little extra time at different checkpoints, letting him eat and drink. And he's learned how to take really good care of himself. So yeah, I'm just thrilled with him. He's turned out to be fantastic. I took him for a walk a few days later from home. And my friend and I went, and we were literally almost having to skip and run to keep up with him because he's feeling so good.
This is great.
So yeah, I better be ready on time this next Saturday. He's going to really have it out with me.
Well, good job. Despite all of that and your minor heart attack, and you know, something like that, when it starts the day like that, does kind of mess you up mentally for the day. It just does. I mean, well, obviously you had lack of, you were messed up with lack of equipment and all that stuff too, which messes you up, but you did it. You got through it because you have 39,000 miles under your belt and you knew that 50 more, what the heck? I can do this.
Yes, even if it's going to take me all day, I'm going to get it done.
We want to thank the Arabian Horse Association for sponsoring this Endurance Rider podcast. Today, we're having the winner of their nationals on, and we're going to talk to her. And obviously, she loves her Arabian, as Karen loves hers, and most endurance riders do. So we do appreciate them sponsoring this show and being part of our family here at the Horse Radio Network. And you can check out the Arabian Horse Association. Go to arabianhorses.org, arabianhorses.org, and we'll talk more about them, I'm sure, as we get to the national champ a little later in the show. But first, we have to get to your tip. And what are we talking about today?
We are talking about your crew bag setup for getting it packed and ready, whether you're doing a vet check in camp that possibly where the vet check is quite a bit a ways from where you're camped. So you're going to want to set up your crew area ahead of time, or for packing your crew bag to send out to an away vet check. So one of the best ways to do that is to get like a duffel bag or a ready-made crew bag, or some people can use things like a wheeled cart. That way it makes it easier for dragging it around. If you've got a ways to go with it, make sure you label things. I just use duct tape and a magic marker, and I'll peel off a piece and write what's in each compartment or on each part of the bag or container. So what you want is the stuff that will help take care of the rider and the horse. Things, the most important things you're going to need are food. So for the horse essentials, I use gallon-sized baggies, and I pre-pack my horse's food in the baggies. Then if you want to add any supplements in there, like electrolytes or salt or whatever, you can add that in as well, or have it in a separate container, and you can add it when you mix up their mash during the vet check hold. I nest those baggies full of feed inside of feed pans or a small bucket, and then that way it all fits nicely inside of the bag. So you want to include stuff like a lightweight blanket or a sheet, for if there's going to be weather, or it's going to be cold in the morning, or a chance of rain later. If you're in the mountains, a lot of times the day starts out totally blue sky and clear, but then it could be pouring rain in a few hours. So it's always good to be prepared and pack that extra little rain sheet or lightweight blanket or fleece blanket. Pack a flake of hay. I like to include a brush or a sponge for the horse so I can clean them up a little bit during the vet check. That often makes them less attractive to bugs and stuff, because on some rides we'll have plenty of bugs or mosquitoes. So cleaning them up kind of makes them a little bit less of a magnet that way. Now for rider gear, again, if there's going to be weather changes or a chance of weather changes, you want to pack some layers. Either you might have them on you and then you can peel them off and put in your crew bag to send back to camp, or you might want to pull something out and add an extra layer. Pack water and drinks, snacks, or lunch for you. A battery pack if you would like to recharge your phone or your GPS. Bug spray, sunscreen for a 75 or 100 mile ride, or when in the winter, add some glow sticks and a headlamp. And for other tips, practice ahead of time at home for efficiency. You know, you can pack up everything, set up your little crew setup area, and bring the horse over and do a little practice run, especially if you and your horse have not ever done this before. And then you'll get to kind of learn how to organize everything that works the best for you for being able to get access quickly. Because believe me, when you come in and your horse is hungry, they want to get fed. And so you want to be able to pull out quickly the food, the baggies, dump them out in the feed pan, get some water, mix it in, and get that all done and taken care of quickly. And you also want to keep in mind that volunteers are the ones having to tote your stuff all around for you, in and out, back and forth. So you want to make sure you don't pack everything, including the kitchen sink. You want to make sure you keep everything as light as possible without overdoing it.
Okay. And what I'll do too is I'll just copy this and put it in the show notes too. So if people want to refer to it, they can just do it right in the show notes on their podcast player. Or we're going next over to Kristen at the Distance Depot to learn about this brand new Garmin Blaze Equine heart rate monitor for horses.
And next up, we're going to be talking with Kristen from the Distance Depot about this new Garmin Blaze Equine heart rate monitor, as well as the other heart rate monitors that the Distance Depot offers. Welcome, Kristen. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We're excited. We'll start with a little bit of history, and then I think maybe we'll talk some more about this possibly in the next episode. But we are super excited that Garmin has finally come out with an equine heart rate monitor for horses. And it is called the Garmin Blaze. They call it a wellness system. It is a tail wrap, and it has a sensor, of course, underneath on the underside of the tail dock. And it's a perforated tail wrap made with neoprene and other Velcro type materials. We have seen it because Garmin came to us. First of all, I should say, for those that don't know, our brand here at the Distance Depot is VMAX. And so we have always sold the VMAX heart rate monitors. And over time, the old analog technology has faded out and everything has sort of gone digital. So we started to adapt the Garmin human heart rate monitors to pick up the horse's heart rate. And so we've been doing that for probably close to 15 years, maybe a little longer. And we've been asking Garmin to please come out with something for equines. Their competition has it, and Garmin is far superior to the competition, in my opinion. Especially, I mean, they're world renowned for their GPS and the rest of it. And their customer service is second to none. We just love working with them. So the Garmin Blaze will do temperature, heart rate, speed, distance, sort of all of the things we're all used to. But of course, designed specifically for the horse, being that it's a tail wrap that the horse wears. They have done a ton of work and over time have developed several, in fact, many of these tail systems and have finally settled on the one that is called the Blaze. So they think they have perfected it. It has been being used by some top riders in our industry and also hunter jumpers, veterinarians, and so on. It's been tested pretty extensively, so we're pretty excited about its capabilities.
Is there a special receiving unit, or can you do it on your own phone through Bluetooth? How's that work?
Yep, absolutely. So you will download the app onto your smartwatch. You can use some of the newer Forerunners that we offer, and we will be adding some of these newer smartwatches, such as the Venues. I've just gotten a Venue so I can learn more about how to operate it and help customers. But yeah, you download the app essentially, and then you'll have it on your smartphone through the Garmin IQ Connect app as well. And you can see all the real-time data in there. And you can have multiple horses with this thing. They do sell tail wraps separately without the sensor. So if you are a barn with a lot of horses, you can use a dry tail wrap and switch them out. So lots of cool stuff coming. And I will hopefully be able to explain more on this coming, in the next coming month. This price point on this unit is $600. So it's not inexpensive. But
and that's for the tail wrap alone? Is that just
that
the
is,
tail wrap?
Yep, okay. For the tail wrap alone. And we had to do, Garmin came to us and said, we want you to be one of these 12 dealers in the country to sell this thing because it's what we do. And so we have already sold four. We pre-bought four and we've already sold them and I just got the notice last night that they're going to start shipping them out to me, I think, today. So we should have it by tomorrow because Garmin is also in Kansas City and we're just south of Kansas City. So we're hoping to ship all four of those units and I have four more on order. So I think for those that already have a watch, it's a good purchase to give good information.
Will
so
it connect to any
that.
Watch? Like does the, does Apple Watch?
No.
Have, no? Okay.
No, it's going to be, Garmin makes products for Garmin. iPhone makes their products. Yeah. They want you to use their technology. And I will find out some more about that as far as, can these other phones upload that app? I bet they can. So I'll have to find out more specifics on that and we can talk about that next time.
Okay.
So I have all my ducks in a row on that.
It is exciting, though.
Yeah, it's super exciting. And of course, we have all the regular Forerunners that we've had for a long time. I will say that technology, they've also stopped making the dual heart rate monitors and they've changed up their human chest belt, which unfortunately don't work with our wires. And we've been trying to find a new wire adaptation. It's changed so many times over the years, I can't tell you. But anyway, that may come to an end because our wire supplier isn't able to find an adapter for this new heart rate monitor for humans that they came out with. So that's kind of a bummer. Yeah. So we may all, if we want to see this, we may have to go this route until these duals, I'm buying the duals like everyone else now because Garmin's all sold out of them. So that's kind of coming to an end too. So I'm glad at this point they're coming out with this horse heart rate monitor. We're super excited about it and to get everyone's feedback on it too.
Well, Kristen, which of these Garmin, I'm on your page looking at all, mm-hmm. there's so many choices.
I know.
Which of these Garmins would you recommend that would work more similarly to some of our smartwatches that we already have, like a Galaxy or an Apple Watch?
So if you're using it, are you talking about a fitness watch?
Yes, something like yes. that, so that it can do some of these other things as well as
light.
So I know they're way more advanced than anything yes. I've had in the past.
Yes. So with this new Blaze, for example, the Forerunners, the 955 Solars, the 965s, the 970s, 265s, most of the newer units are going to work and be compatible with the Blaze. But I wear a fitness watch, and so I purchased the Venue 3. And I love it. Mine has music. It has a smaller face. So the ones with the smaller face for women come with music, but it's a Venue 3S. And then my husband got the Venue 3, but there are just tons. And we list it on the Garmin Blaze. If you click on that product on our website, we list all the units. It, you know, Phoenix, the Phoenix family and the Vivo Active 5 and 6 family. Of the Garmins will work with it as well. So if you already have one of those, you're in luck. If not, those are some of the Vivo Active family is probably some of the less expensive units. I think the Venue watch is about in the $400 range. So it gets pretty pricey, but I wear that watch every day to work out. So it comes in handy. And if I had a horse, that's for sure, I would just tie it in with that.
Good. I know technology's sure come a long way from the early days of the first monitors.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, gosh. Well, how would somebody learn more about these products and get in touch with you?
Okay, well, they can visit our website, which is www.thedistancedepot.com, or call us toll-free, 866-863-2349, and we're happy to help with any Garmin questions or questions about this new Blaze unit.
Sentinel is the horse feed trusted by champion equestrians, veterinarians, and world-class breeders. They count on its expertly crafted extruded formulations to meet the specific nutritional needs of their horses, and you can too. Just visit feedsentinel.com/findmyfeed and answer a few questions about your horse, and you'll be guided to the feed that best fits their needs. With Sentinel's full line of 100% extruded feed, you'll find the perfect fit for your horse, no matter their age or activity level. Get started today. That's feedsentinel.com/findmyfeed.
Our next guest this morning is Nicole Wirtz. She has been endurance riding for decades, and she has close to 17,000 miles, including over 55 one-day 100-mile rides. She has been having a stellar year this year. Her horse, Sammy, and her have been doing fantastic, and she's going to come on and tell us all about it. So thank you, Nicole, for making time to join us, and congratulations on your first place and best condition at the Arabian Horse Association Championships.
Thank you. It was an awesome day, obviously. It was kind of an unplanned race, being Tevis was only 6 weeks prior, so wasn't sure if I was going to be able to attend the event. And then we also had a family loss in our family the weekend before the race that was unexpected. So wasn't sure if I was going to have a crew. It was my husband's father-in-law. Our father passed away, so big deal in our family, not expected. So we were kind of wondering if we were going to go or not, but we ended up rallying and deciding that he would have wanted us to go. So we did. And we made the trip up to Idaho. It's a race that I'd never been to, but I had heard good things from people that live in Idaho that it's their favorite race in Idaho. So I was excited to see a new course and experience.
How cool is it you got to honor him by winning it?
Right? Yeah, it was cool. I know. He's always like, how come you never win? Well, I win sometimes.
Families are so brutal sometimes.
I know, right?
So tell us about the ride. Describe just everything about it. Tell us where it is, what the trail was like, and how your day went.
I know so the rides, all at once. Yeah, the ride's in a unique part of Idaho that I personally had never been to. I mean, normally much of the Idaho that I've seen in endurance races looks similar to Nevada, kind of sagebrush mountains and some sand and rocky areas. And this area was unique in that it kind of looked like more Tahoe-like with trees and forest and really excellent footing. The camp was in the forest and I believe on some private land. It was all an old mining reclamation area and it was outside of a town called Idaho City, which uniquely is where they discovered gold in Idaho. And apparently they mined more gold in Idaho than they did from Alaska during the gold mining era. So it was a prolific mining area and reminded me of an old west town. Once you turned off the highway, you were on dirt roads for miles and miles, and you could have rode your horse into town because it was all dirt roads and there were hitching posts in the little old west buildings. And camp was in a nice area. There was a big pond that our dogs got to play in, and all the loops except for one, we had one out check on the 100, but all the other loops came back into camp, but you left a different way each time. So you rode unique trails on each loop with very little overlap, which was always nice. And the horses appreciate that. It was well managed. The ride has been going on, I believe, for 40 years. It's usually been a multi-day ride, and it was, again, it was 3 days of riding, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The championship 50 was Friday, and the championship 100 was on Sunday. But there were still riders that did the three-day ride, and I believe some pioneer riders, too. So yeah, well attended ride. It looked like they had a great turnout. I do know on the 100 too, I believe there were 22 starters and I think they had a 75% completion rate, which is really good for a 100-mile race. Yeah. And I know there were at least a half a dozen people. It was their first 100-mile ride. So there were probably more people in the open ride than there were the championship ride for the 100 anyway, which it was good to see because we don't see that very often, you know, where people are stepping up to the 100-mile course. And so it was a great ride, I believe, for people to do a first 100, one because you mostly came back to camp. There was one out check that it was only, I don't know, maybe 7 miles down the road from camp. Very easy road to drive on for a crew. And then they had a trailer that took people's items that didn't have crew. And then you came back to camp from that. And then the other loops looped in and out of camp.
We know you had some stiff competition. How did you feel going into the race? And what was your strategy to compete against these other strong riders?
Well, it's always intimidating when Heather and Jeremy Reynolds, which are great friends of mine, but when they're attending a race, they usually, you kind of expect them to win. And so I knew I had my work cut out for me because they were both entered and they were also not on their Tevis horses, which good and bad, right? I knew they were fast horses, but, and they were also fresh because my horse did Tevis. These ones didn't. And then Suzanne Ford Huff, she's always a competitor and always has a very competitive horse and has been AHA champion probably more times than I can count on my hands, as well as Christoph Schork, right? Those two probably own so many of those trophies. It makes me jealous, but, I knew that Sammy's a good boy and I just, you know, every time I go to a race, it's not really about the race. It's about riding and spending time with my horse and having a good day. And like I said, I really wanted to see this new trail that was supposedly the most beautiful ride of Idaho, which I'd have to agree, definitely was a beautiful ride. And I'm really glad that I got to go, and I always ride the horse to the best of their ability, and his ability was I guess the best it could have been for the day. The day kind of played out with four of us together for really half of the ride. Heather and I pulled away after the first vet check. And we had a blast on this road. That it was an old mining cart path that was fairly wide. Maybe like a Jeep could go down it, but it was phenomenal footing. It was in the shade. It kind of weaved and curved, and it was probably 6 or 8 miles long of this old rail car bed, and it was flat. And it was up on a ridge, but on the side of it, super flat. And I think we were flying along it, cantering at 17 miles an hour, the whole 6 or 8 miles. It was a blast. We were laughing and giggling, having a ball. And we kind of thought we were away from Christoph and Suzanne. And then, man, somehow magically right before the vet check, I don't know if we were cooling off too long or fooling around too long in the water. There were some big river crossings that were slow moving water and just beautiful that we took the time to really cool our horses. And I don't know, next thing you know, they caught us at one of those and we were only a mile or two from the vet check. So then we're all four together again. And that was about the halfway point. And Heather's horse was pulled for lameness, and Jeremy slowed down after the first vet check, and then unfortunately took a wrong turn on the trail and got lost, and his horse ended up being off too, but he was also off course, so he ended up stopping Aww. At whatever mileage he was at, so that was a bummer. There were places where the trail crisscrossed some of the other loops that you just really had to look closely at the ribbons, and we also had ride with GPS, so we would, you know, grab that out, make sure we're going the right way. I don't think the ride had enough help to have people planted at all of those places, but for the most part it was marked well. You just had to be paying attention and not going too fast. And anyway, so after that it was Christoph and Suzanne and I rode the third loop together with them, knowing that it was going to be a tough loop. There were long loops, like 28 to 30 miles, other than the last loop, which was only 15. And we just really just rode together. I knew if I tried to get away, it would be too much. It was a really hot day, unseasonably hot. So kind of just took the time, and I knew my horse had a big stride and that if he had gas at the end that I could probably leave them, because he just has his going down the trail kind of easy pace is 12, 13 miles an hour. And Christoph and Suzanne's horses were traveling about nine to 11 miles per hour. So I knew there was a slight advantage if I played my cards right. Uh-huh. And so it really came down to the last loop. There was a loop prior where something was wrong on the ride with GPS. I think they rerouted the trail to get the proper mileage and didn't update the data. The markers were correct, but we thought we were going on a 22-mile loop, and it ended up being, I think, 29. And so all three of us were out of water, people water, electrolytes when we came to like 22 miles, because we're thinking we should be back to camp. The ride manager was out there on a quad marking stuff for the night loop. And she said, oh, you're right where I thought you would be. You have about 7 miles left to go. And we all looked at her and said, wait, what? We thought we were done.
Oh, no.
And so, yeah, we all suffered together to get in off of that loop. And then the last loop, I said to Heather, I said, well, do I ride the loop like it's 15 miles? What if it's 20? And she said, you got to just go that it's 15. They told you it's 15, so hopefully it is. And we knew it was a climb because the last loop, part of it, we had done in the morning on our first loop. So horses knew their way. We knew our way, but we also knew it was a climb leaving camp. And so I didn't want to waste my horse on that climb. So I just tagged along with Christoph and Suzanne and kind of waited. And I could see their horses were getting tired. They didn't want to lead. And I didn't want to drag them either. So I just kind of waited until I thought it was the right time to trot away. And either they would trot with me and we'd have to race at the end, which I did not want to do after 100 miles. I always feel like that's a hard ask. Although fun, flat out racing, I think it's a lot to ask on the end of 100. And so I was glad that I did not have to do that. I tactfully just trotted away and they didn't really come with me. And I ended up, I think I beat them by almost a half an hour on that loop. Yep. So I just trotted in and I did have a rock in his hoof, and I learned my lesson that make sure your pack has your hoof pick in it, because halfway in that loop, he was lame and I jumped off. Oh my goodness. I could tell there was a rock underneath his pad. I just had steel shoes with pads, and somehow all the packing that was in there had slipped away, and rock pebbles and rocks that had created a lump in there, and I couldn't get it out. And so I just kind of looked at my horse and said, well, we're going to find the softest side of the road we can. And I thought, well, sometimes we all get rocks in our shoes and we don't have time to take them off ourselves. And so you kind of get over it, or the rock moves to a piece of your shoe that is okay.
Yes.
And that's kind of what happened with him. And I just knew at the finish that I needed to cut that pad and get that rock out. And I did, and was able to get my completion, and I had a good CRI. I think he was 48-48 at the finish. And then the next day when we did our best condition, I think he was like 40-40 the next day. So, and he showed really well. He looked sound. He looked like he could do the race again. And I don't think I've ever, I've won a few hundreds here and there. Not that many, because I've big borrowed and stole horses over the years, catch rode a bunch. I didn't always have my own horses, but I have had a few good ones that have given me some wins. But never have I been able to get the elusive best condition and win, which I think is icing on the cake. And so I was really proud of Sammy for having such a great day, especially 6 weeks after Tevis, and you know, make me feel better too that I didn't tax him too much, that we did right by each other.
Right. Well, that's wonderful. Tell us about Sammy, a little bit about his history. I know he's off the track and that you also do dressage work with him.
Yes, Sammy was bred for the track and he ran, I believe, 15 times. Before he went on to a little bit of endurance, did some LDs, I think two, and then got into some dressage work for about a year. Never was shown, and he was a stallion. He was kept as a stallion to be an endurance stallion, and then later he was gilded and actually collected before he was gilded. So I actually do own his semen. So someday when we want to breed something of Sammy, I do have that. And then I acquired Sammy 2 years ago at an auction, and he hadn't done much in the last 2 years before I got him. He was just kind of in the pasture. But I did know that he had that history of dressage and then his track riding and then two LDs. And so I was able to basically kind of restart him and get him going again on the trail. Kind of had a slow season in 2023. But I knew he was going to make a great endurance horse when his first ride that I ever took him on competitively was the Tahoe Rim Ride, which, as Karen knows,
that's a tough one.
It's yes. a tough ride. Yeah. It's a lots of hills, some technical trail, really beautiful, probably one of the most beautiful California ride, or I guess it's in Nevada, actually. One of the most beautiful rides there really is, but it's tough. It's a trail ride mostly. It's not easy at all. And he finished great. He did that ride. I think it was the fourth trail ride I literally had taken him on since I'd had him.
Wow.
And he came in second on the 50 and had a long break after that. And then I thought, man, I think this is going to be a 100-mile horse. So I think I did it one more LD, and then I did two back-to-back 50s at the Sesenta Años ride, which is another hilly ride. And he excelled there. So I just really knew that I would have a 100-mile horse. And then in 2024, he did Tevis, came in ninth. And then this year he came in sixth place.
Well, Nicole, it's been fun talking to you. And again, congratulations. And we wish you well. Thank you.
Thank you.
So it sounds like she had a blast. So I have a question for you. How many of the endurance horses that are out there today that are really good like hers, do you think came from racing, and how many were bred for endurance? Because that's one of the things that struck me about hers.
You know, it's hard to tell without actually looking at real numbers, yeah. But I know there are quite a few really good horses off the track that excel in endurance.
And you know what's so funny is in our world, you don't hear about Arabian racing ever. You know, it's out right. there, it exists, uh-huh. but it's on so few tracks around the country that we just don't hear about it much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hear about standardbred, you hear about thoroughbred, obviously, you even hear about quarter horse racing some, but Arabian racing seems to be the outlier.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Interesting, though, that she's got one of those horses, and it does pretty well. So
he clearly does. Well, she does a lot of dressage work with him, and I think that
was interesting, too, actually.
Really beneficial.
Yeah.
Really beneficial. Really helps them build up their top lines and learn how to move. And also, there's a lot of discipline involved with getting out there and riding around in an arena.
Yes, sure.
I used to take a lot of riding lessons myself. And I swear some of those dressage lessons were harder than riding a 50.
Oh, yeah. I bet. Well, it was very interesting. I'm glad we got to speak with her. And thank you again to the Arabian Horse Association for sponsoring this episode. Speaking of sponsoring this episode, running low on essentials in the barn, Chewy's got you covered, from feed and supplements to stable supplies and even medications. Get everything your horse needs delivered fast and free on orders over $49. And aren't all horse orders over $49? I don't think I've ever seen my wife order anything that's not over $49. No more last-minute feed runs or searching for your favorites. Just easy, reliable delivery straight to your barn. Get all of your favorite brands like Tribute, Cosequin, Farnam, Ulster Guard, and hundreds more. Shop now at chewy.com/equine and get more time to be back with your horse in the saddle. For low prices, for fast shipping, there's chewy.com/equine. Well, there's something big coming up in the world, right?
Yes, the 2025 FEI Endurance World Championship for Young Riders and Juniors is scheduled for September 20th in Buftia, Romania.
Oh, wow.
And so we are sending a team of young riders over, and I just wanted to mention who they are so that they get some credit, because they have worked really hard qualifying in order to get to go do this.
How cool
really
for them, huh? How cool,
cool
is this?
Adventure. Yes. So we have Jax Bellow Burke from Loomis, California, riding High Treason, an Arabian gelding. We have Anna Marie Clark from Davis, West Virginia, riding Southern Justice.
East Coast
also
representing.
Arabian.
East Coast representing.
Yes, I know. Let's see. She has an alternate horse as well, Summer Gold, which is a half Arabian. And then we have Vanessa Erickson from Rockland, California, riding Lino, another Arabian gelding. So we just want to wish them well. Good luck to the team. And we'll look forward to hearing how that goes.
We need to get one of them on when they come back, because what an adventure for all of them, right? So
exactly, going to Romania.
Yeah. As a kid, that's cool.
And shipping your horse. And yeah, there's kind of an exciting thing.
All right. Well, we'll definitely have one or if not all of them on when they get back. And of course, you can find about the rides that are still going on around the country. They're not over yet. You can go to aerc.org and check the ride calendar there for all the rides around the country. And where can they find you, Karen?
KarenChatton.com. It's my blog.
KarenChatton.com. It's really simple. And of course, I'll put the link. Karen did the things they need to pack for a vet check. I'll just copy that and put it right in your show notes so you have that if you need it. You can find all of the past episodes here on Horses in the Morning. Just search for Horses in the Morning on any podcast player. And Karen also has her own RSS feed. You can just listen to the past Endurance episodes all by themselves, not cluttered in with the Horses in the Morning feed. It's called Endurance Rider. Just search for Endurance Rider on your podcast player. It'll pop up, and you can go back and listen to all the past episodes there. Tomorrow, Jamie and I will be back with our normal Wednesday episode, so look for us then. And Karen, we'll see you a month from now.
All right. Thank you, and everybody have a good ride. Be safe out there.